I invite everybody to stand as we are able in reverence for God's Word this morning as we come to the Gospel lesson. The Gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 49 through 56. Let us hear now the Word of the Lord. I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" You may be seated. And let us pray. God, we pray that you would come over us. God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. This morning, our teaching from the Gospel is a hard teaching. It's a teaching in which I believe that we need to put into context. When we go back to the beginning of the 12th chapter of Luke, we find that this is a passage that is filled with warnings and encouragements as Jesus talks about the days to come. He talks about the coming of the Son of Man. He talks about our worry, and he talks about the future, about his coming again. In fact, in this passage, he even talks about the baptism that he has to undergo, and we know that he has already been baptized by John in the Jordan River, but he is speaking about his going to Jerusalem, going to the cross, and to his resurrection. In the earlier service, I told about a time in which I was coming to be the pastor of a church, not this church, another church. And I was told that the Methodist Church were appointed, and so we're told all the wonderful things about the new place we're going, how great that church is. So the DS had told me how wonderful the church was, and I was following a pastor who was an intentional interim. He had been there for just 1 year. And as I came in and I wanted to know about the congregation, and I asked questions about the congregation, what he told me was, "You're going to love following me. Everyone loves following me." Which was really a tip-off for me to say, this is going to be very difficult because I'm not going to like following you. Because he wasn't honest about the difficulties, the divisions and the strife and some of those wounded places that that congregation had had in the past, some of the pains that had gone before. There was no direction about those. And oftentimes in life and in the world, there are those moments in which there is a facade, there is a veneer of peacefulness, but underneath there is no peace. There is no deep and lasting hopefulness. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. It's as if when you're looking for a new home, you see that it has been freshly painted and the walls look so great. And then after 6 months of being in the house, the stains begin to creep out of the paint. Know that it was just whitewashed over. And there are those in our culture, and those maybe even in the church, who see the church and the gospel as a type of whitewashing, of, well, pie in the sky sort of religion. About not dealing with the here and now, but only making a promise of life after death. But the gospel And living a life in relationship to God through Jesus Christ is not just about what happens after we die. It is what happens now. And so I want to call to mind a few verses that are very real. If you want to know about the reality of the difficulties of life and crying out to God, I recommend that you read the Psalms. There are all type of Psalms, and I'm going to read just three today. They happen to all be Psalms of David. But the first one is Psalm 13, and I want you to hear the voice with which David speaks. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? This is not a psalm written with a candy coating like an M&M. This is the reality of an individual crying out to God about the difficulty in his own life, about the enemy that surrounds him, about his own internal torment and wrestling. As he cries out and says, "How long, O God? How long will I suffer?" In Psalm 17, David says these words to God as he cries out, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer." He goes on to speak about his enemies in this psalm. And he says in verse 10, "They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert. They to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a lion crouching in cover." He entreats of the Lord in verse 13, "Rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, save me by your hand from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life." There are other psalms that speak about the way it seems that the unrighteous prosper, while those who are righteous suffer. These are passages that don't gloss over the difficulties of life, but they confront them head on. And I believe that is what Jesus is doing in our gospel lesson today. He's talking about the fact that we live in a world of strife. We live in a world where there is no peace, but he is coming to bring peace. He is coming acknowledging that not only is there already division in the world and strife, a restlessness, but that as he comes into the world, he himself will be like the cornerstone or the capstone that is rejected. That there are those who will oppose him. We hear these words from the Gospel of Mark, starting in the first chapter. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how Mark starts his gospel. "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River.
John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus has been baptized with John, in the Gospel of Luke earlier, the same gospel we have before us this morning, we read these words as Jesus stands up at his home synagogue in Nazareth. He is handed the scroll, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was the one that was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovering of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came, and indeed he is not the one who only brings the vision into the world, but there is the vision in the world. And he comes knowing that those who follow him, that there will be division in their lives as well. But he comes speaking to that baptism of him making peace through the cross. In fact, we read these words from Colossians, the one verse I have today that I failed to dog tag, so hold on 1 second. Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, as Paul writes to the church of Colossae, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with imperishability, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, 'Death has been swallowed up in victory.' Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Indeed, God has given us a spirit, not of timidity, as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. We know that when we follow Christ in the world, we cling and we have hope in what Christ has accomplished for us. But our lives will not be without strife. Our lives will not be without difficulty and division, but we rest in him. Indeed, we come today, and in just a few minutes, we recall and we remember all that he has done for us as we come to table to remember that he has reconciled us to himself through the baptism that he undergoes on the cross, through the cross, his death, and his resurrection. Amen.